1690 AM in Montreal.
For CGLO News, I'm Serena Abuljoud. On Tuesday, September 9, Israeli occupation forces airdropped a massive amount of leaflets on Palestinians in Gaza City, demanding the full evacuation of the region. This comes after Israel revealed it intends to demolish all of Gaza City in an attack to take down Hamas. The Israeli military ordered residents to move to Al-Masawi area, which is already overcrowded with thousands of displaced people sheltering in tents. Palestinians in Gaza City are now left stranded amidst the rubble, with nowhere safe to go, as Israel continues to regularly bomb the south. Health authorities in Gaza announced that they will not be evacuating Gaza City's two main operational hospitals, stressing that doctors will not abandon their patients. Gaza City is home to around 1 million Palestinians, and as of Wednesday, less than 10% have evacuated the area. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has killed more than 64,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Activists and coalitions across Canada protested in front of Canada Revenue Agency offices across the country between September 2nd and September 5th. Their demand was to stop allowing Canadian charitable donations to subsidize war crimes and the genocide in Palestine. Just Peace Advocates, an independent Canadian human rights group, released an analysis based on charity filings from 2024, exposing seven organizations for sending donations to entities deeply complicit in the occupation and bombing campaigns against Palestinian civilians. Activists highlighted Revenue Agency's failure to enforce its own laws, as these funds violate both the Income Tax Act and the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. They still haven't taken any action against these violations and continue to make Canadian taxpayers unknowingly implicated in genocide. That being said, many other charities such as Mizrachi and United Israel Appeal did not file their 2024 returns. This is raising more questions surrounding the entire funding of illegal Israeli activities. The head of the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, Francis Viropol, is pleading for the Quebec government to drop Bill 97, an act proposing to modernize the forest regime. The new proposed system consists of splitting public lands into three equally sized zones. That includes one protected area, one area for industry to develop, and one area for mixing public lands with lands for development. Since the tabling of Bill 97 back in April, First Nations have been protesting against it. Indigenous groups and leaders are saying the act gives the forestry industry the right to complete their operations without consulting them, which threatens Indigenous title rights and sovereignty. They warn that the changes are prioritizing logging over the long-term health of the ecosystem, which could get in the way of the preservation of their traditional ways of life, cultures, and languages. They also emphasize their concern with the potential acceleration of forest degradation. Last week, Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Ian Lafrenière, implied that many changes will be made to the amendment. Minister of Natural Resources and Forests, Maite Blanchette-Vézina, who has been receiving backlash for putting industrial interests above all else in her new bill, said that her ministry's team of lawyers are willing to sit down with the Assembly of First Nations to make sure that all the terms and elements in the amendment that spark concern would be avoided. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
We got a thing.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning.
My name is Maximilian Kalinowski.
And I'm Liba Sikuela Diallo.
And we are your hosts of Death of the Midrange.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Happy Monday.
Happy freaking Monday.
Happy. How we doing today, Maximilian? How we doing?
I'm good. I'm alive. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm prepped. I'm awake.
Mm.
Got up at 6:30 this
Come
morning.
Come on. Let him
watch the sunrise.
Mm.
You know, had three eggs.
Jeez.
And a bagel.
Bagel?
Bagel.
You prepared today.
I'm prepared
today. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. I'm prepared. And then I'm going to fumble.
Nah.
I'm going to fumble the whole show. Nah. No, it's okay. How are you this morning?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I love this show because it makes me start my week with a big old smile on my face.
Aww.
I'm just so happy. So happy. All right, don't do that. I'm just so happy to be here today.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. And those listening at home, in your car, or wherever you are, I'm going to ask, how is your day? And you're going to respond, like, I'll count you down, okay?
Count them
down. So, how's your day? Answer in 3, 2, 1.
Go.
Wow, I didn't care, actually.
No,
I didn't.
You know what? That's not what we're trying to do. I'll stop you right there. This show is about positivity. I'm deeply interested in what's going on in everybody's lives.
All right, so now tell Libus the more intricate part of your morning. All right, 3, 2, 1.
And thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
So what are we talking about today, Max? What are we talking about?
Today, we're going to start with, you have a blind ranking for me.
Indeed.
And then we're going to get into our NBA Dark Horse teams. Mm-hmm. For those who are unfamiliar with the term of Dark Horse, it's more just, obviously we know the front runners, who, like the top three teams that are going to dominate each conference. But what is the teams that are going to surprise us today? We're doing predictions. What teams we think are going to be surprisingly good in both conferences? I've picked two teams from the West.
And I'm in charge of the Great East.
Yeah, the Great East. And if you say the Washington Wizards, I swear
listen,
to God.
Listen, it was my choice. I will not accept any judgment from your end. I have a lot of reasons. No, obviously, I won't talk about it.
We're a dark horse team to make the 12th seed.
Listen, we're an honorable mention. I don't care. I'm using my privilege. I'm honorable mention. Also, right. We got to let the people know, unfortunately, Max was day-to-day all week last week. So, unfortunately, we did not. He dug the smoke again.
I was ducking smoke for the weekly one-on-one.
Unfortunately,
not gonna lie.
We haven't played. We haven't played at all.
Yeah. All we've done is gotten fat and more unathletic, so we're really gonna
by the day. It's just the athleticism is fading away, bro. Yeah.
The hoop dreams are slowly fading away, bro.
Still here though. Still here. At your local YMCA.
Yeah, can Unk buckets.
Yes, sir.
Making the Unks go like,
he's got potential.
Oh, he do.
Oh, he's got potential.
How old are you? 21?
No, it's over. It's over. Let it go. But hopefully we get to do that this week.
Absolutely. I hope so too.
Hope so.
Last week of probably nice weather before we get into Montreal fall and winter.
Yeah.
Sadness.
Flash news, bro. It's cold.
It's cold.
It's getting cold out here.
Flash news. It's cold.
It's getting cold out here. I'm not going to lie.
Anyways, you have a blind ranking for me.
Should we get into it?
I want to get into it.
All right. So I'm going to have you blind rank shooting guards today, okay?
Ooh.
So I'm going to give you five shooting guards, and you have to blindly rank them.
Out of, five.
Five.
For those at home, he's going to give me, if you've never heard of a blind ranking, maybe you have, and you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm just trying to, appease to a broader audience, okay?
Yes.
Blind ranking is he's going to give me five shooting guards in no particular order. Therefore, if I rank, like, a really good shooting guard at two, and at the end of the list, there's only a really bad shooting guard, and I rank him one.
Yeah. Basically, the trick is that he doesn't know what I'm going to, like, which shooting guard I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah.
And he has to rank him before knowing all the five. So, shall we get started?
I think we should get started. Shooting guards. Oh, that's tough.
All right. So, the first name I have for you is Zach LaVine.
Oh. Ooh. For you listening at home, play at home, too. I got to put Zach LaVine.
It's not great. It's not great, by the way.
Because he's such a dynamic threat offensively, and he's so consistent, but his defense is so trash.
He also plays on a team that's like...
garbage.
Not garbage. Bit like, a whatever team, I would say.
I'm going to put him at four, and that's a hasty four, because I would have put him at three, but I think four is...
Okay.
Four is more accurate.
Also, this is kind of like a psychological game because you got to like look into my eyes and am I going to give you a good player next?
Yeah.
Or am I going to give you a great player or maybe a bad player? Who knows?
So Zach LaVine at four.
Next name I have for you is Norman Powell.
And
don't be biased, bro. Do not be biased.
Does that mean I have to put Norm at five, bro? If I put Zach at four, I have to put Norm at five.
Okay.
Which is trash. Oh, God.
Next name I have for you. Austin Reeves.
Oh, I'm cooked, bro. I'm cooked. Oh, I should have put Zach at three. Yeah, so I guess we put Austin Reeves at three, meaning he's... I could see it for Norm. I cannot see that for Zach LaVine, but go on.
So Austin Reeves at three?
Three. I have to. So that means I have one and two left.
Next name, Desmond Bane.
Oh, God, I cooked this list, bro. This list is cooked, bro. Yeah, so at two.
Two?
Well, you have to. I'm not putting him at one.
The last name is Jalen Green.
God damn. This list is ass. Excuse me. Cam will be talking to me about that one.
So, Jalen Green is number
one.
Okay, now if you had to rank them, knowing all five, what would be your ranking?
Okay, so my blind ranking was...
Your blind ranking was Jalen Green at one, Desmond Bane at 2, Austin Reeves at 3, Zach LaVine at 4, and then Norman Powell closing it out at 5.
Wow, so Zach LaVine was the best name on the list, hypothetically?
Desmond Bane. I'd say Desmond Bane would be my number one.
Really?
If I had to rank it, I would go Desmond Bane. I would go Desmond Bane.
Zach LaVine.
No, I'd go Desmond Bane, Austin Reeves, Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, Powell, and then Green.
Green, yeah. I think Green is the worst name.
Austin Reeves is underrated. He's a really good player.
I agree, but I also think that, like, Desmond Bane is not one. I think it has to be Zach LaVine.
Bro, Desmond Bane is so tough. He's so tough.
Yeah, but, yeah, and he's consistent, and he plays good defense.
He's a great shooter
as well.
And
he's a good passer.
He plays.
I put Desmond. So that's Desmond at 1, Zach at 2,
yeah.
Austin at 3. Norm at 4, Green at 5.
Yeah.
And you can interchange, but the thing is, between Norm and Green, the thing is that Norm, I feel like, is more consistent than Jalen Green, but Jalen Green's got that athleticism and that potential. Right?
But he's also part of the team where, like, people on, like, social media and, like, even on TV can constantly clown him. But if you go into the research, he's not as inefficient as people say. I still would say his shot selection is not good. But he's not as inefficient and, like, trash as people are trying to, like, make him out to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now he's on the Suns, so God knows. God knows what the Suns are
doing. They're trying to put him at point guard, which is, like, they're like, okay, don't worry, Devin Booker. We're going to put you at shooting guard, but we're going to put Jalen Green as your primary ball handler.
What I respect, Devin Booker, loyal to his team. Listen,
yeah.
Loyal to his team.
The thing is that, like, does it, like, is it worth it?
Listen.
How old is he now? How old is Devin Booker now? 28?
Yeah, I think he's
29.
Late 20s, yeah. Late 20s.
Ugh. Poor D-Book.
Yeah. I mean, there was a finals run in there, you know.
Yeah, and you had Chris Paul, Devin Booker.
OG. Point guard.
Yeah.
Point guard.
Ayton. Mikal Bridges. Cam Johnson. What other star
it was
missing?
Stacked. Dang, I remember.
We're missing someone. Who was guarding Giannis? It was Ayton, but Jay Crowder. Not that he's, like, fantastic, but
from
he was
left
always
field,
in those...
That's crazy. That's a crazy pool. Jay Crowder.
Yeah, he was the starting power forward on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
That blind ranking was not it, bro.
Actually, not awful, but I thought you were going to throw in, like, Anthony Edwards.
That's the thing. Most people think the last spot is going to be, like, a great player, and this time I was like, nah. I'm going to just give you, like, a... You know, a less than great player. But yeah.
That's fair.
Yes, sir. But I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The sneaky good teams. And also, you didn't mention, but we're also going to get into the WNBA playoffs.
Yes, we're going to get in the WNBA playoffs, and we're going to talk about the MVP ladder, too. Well, the thing is that Basketball Reference didn't release the ladder.
Yeah. Shout out Asia, though. Shout out Asia.
Aja Wilson, though. Is Aja Asia?
Asia, I think. Asia, yeah. I think
yeah,
Asia.
You're probably
Asia.
Right. But no, I wish Basketball Reference released the ladder because it's interesting to see who gets like all the little votes and
everything.
But anyways, we're going to go to an ad break.
Yes, sir.
You guys sip your coffee at home. You know, get comfy in your chair or your car. Make sure you don't crash, you know.
Please don't.
And then, please don't. We are not liable for for any vehicular mishaps that happens during this show. But we're going to get to an ad break and then we'll be back.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Hey, do you love movies? Discover the best of art house cinema in 3 theaters all across the city. That is Cinéma Musée, Du Parc, and Beaubien. Students only pay $11 per ticket, all day, every day. See you at the movies!
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop every Monday at 5 on CGLO 1690 AM or CGLO.com.
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange. We are going to be talking about our Dark Horse teams in both conferences. Do you want to start us off with the East?
I would love nothing more.
Let's get into it.
So let's get into it. I sat down with this all week.
Damn.
All week. Really, I was really excited to talk about. And first, I want to talk about the, like, not talk about, but just say the honorable mentions, the teams I did not pick. Mm. The Toronto Raptors, don't get excited. We're on my list, but since we already talked about them.
Belief, faith.
Since we already talked about them, I decided not to go down that path.
Yeah, whatever, bro. Like,
bro, it's cool,
honestly,
man.
That's chill, I guess.
The Atlanta Hawks as well, because I thought, ooh, there was too many what ifs for me to get into it as a dark horse. And then,
yeah, because they got Porzingis.
Yeah, but
I forget. You know. But that's like the, what do you call it? Like, that's like team thin bones.
Yeah, it's like they healthy, they tough, but you know. And then my last special shout out is to the Detroit Pistons, whom I love this team so much, and I think they'll be really good next year as well. So that's my honorable mentions. But then my first candidate that I want to talk about for next year is the Indiana Pacers.
Ha! Interesting.
Now I know what you're thinking. How could the Indiana Pacers be there? They were in the finals last year. I don't assume you talk like that, but you know, how is that possible?
Yeah, that's how every single person listening. Are you kidding me?
Somebody
how
almost
is that possible?
Somebody just swerved on the highway. I promise. No, but the Indiana Pacers, obviously they lost Tyrese Halliburton in the finals a couple months ago, who is going to be out for most likely the entire season.
Yeah.
They also lost Miles Turner, who was the longest tenured Pacer. And everybody's talking about this team as if they're going to retool this year, rebuild. Like, you know, they're not going to be competitive. Let's just wait for Halliburton to come back. But I think people are being so pessimistic about the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers are a collective, right? Mm. They're deep. Rick Carlisle loves to play those, like, you'll play 5 minutes and then switch out. Just throwing these dogs off the bench. Shepard, TJ McConnell, you know, go.
Yeah, they got a lot of depth.
For sure.
Also, you're going to see the depth of TJ McConnell as a starting point guard. If he starts, is
that
the question.
That was one of my questions. Yeah. And so basically, I think this team is really deep. They have a coach of the year candidate every year, Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
They also have Andrew Nembhard, who, you know, from the eye test, the analytics love him. Mm. Like, they love him. Defensively, offensively, he's such a great player. And I think he's ready to make that jump. Also, don't forget, Pascal Siakam.
Oh, I've never forgot.
Hey, he's got them boys already in a mini camp right now.
Yeah.
Right? All them boys showed up. So I think you have these two-headed monster. And, you know, even with the loss of Miles Turner, this team is changing. Right?
And Obi Toppin has looked like a way more consistent player, especially with his defense and three-point shooting in the finals.
And they're playing small ball five, and they're playing fast.
And Obi Toppin was so much of the reasons why they had success in the playoffs.
And he was closing games. I think that's one of the reasons why Miles Turner did not stick around. Also, and also they're getting back Isaiah Jackson, who did tear his Achilles last year. He's a walking 7-5, like 7 points, 5 rebound type of guy.
Yeah, he's a good,
really steady.
Good,
and then
center.
They got Jay Huff. Who
right
I'm
there.
A really
I
big
always,
fan of.
I really like Jay Huff. Yeah.
He's a guy who's not that well known. He didn't play that much with the Grizzlies last year, but really tall, really lengthy, fat. He runs like hell in the fast break. And that's what this team needs.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew Nembhard is going to step up and you know, really, really fill. He's not going to fill the Halliburton role, but I think he can bring in a lot
Nothing's
of scoring
Nothing's
going to
fill in that playmaking Obviously. And speed and tempo
right?
and IQ.
And but, if you look at their lineup, you have Nembhard. It's going to be that point guard. And there's a hole in the backcourt. And you got Neesmith, Siakam, and then either Isaiah Jackson or Jay Huff will occupy that center space. And so for that spot, you have three guys who can step in. You have TJ McConnell, who I don't think should start because such a great backup point guard.
Yeah, you want him as your bench.
And that's a small backcourt, right? We don't want that. You have Benedict Mathurin, who's a dog. Shout out Montréal Nord.
Yeah.
He's a dog. He's everything. But the problem with Benedict Mathurin is he's kind of a ball stopper at times. And I think he's better off the bench.
Yeah, it also means that him and TJ McConnell can have those moments that break the offense. Because what really works with the Indiana Pacers is the unpredictability.
Yeah.
There's always something going on. And what also, I loved that. Was it the first round or was it the second round series where the Pacers played? No, obviously not the first round. It was the second round where the Pacers played the Cavs.
Yeah.
Oh, him getting into it with a...
DeAndre Hunter.
Thank you. I was thinking of Travis Hunter. I'm like, that's a football player.
Boy.
No, just like the pure anger that man created in that rivalry. And he's such a pest. And I really quite like Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah.
And I think he has got so much potential. And,
but off the bench. And then so my pick, too, pick would be Ben Shepherd. Who shot 40% from three in the playoffs is just, you know, kind of your typical 3 and D guy. He's not going to mind not playing that many minutes. I think Mathurin would close games. But I think the biggest thing about this collective is that in what they call the weaker Eastern Conference, they can still compete. Like all the things that made them great last year, like they kept the same core.
Yeah.
They lost Miles Turner, but they kept the same core. Brought in guys who have seemed to really fit in from like all these videos that Pascal Siakam has been posting. Like J-Hub seems to already be fitting in really well.
Well, yeah, he's a better three-point shooter.
Yeah, and they're just going to keep that same identity, which is run like hell in transition, defend together. And then Nembhard, I think he's ready for that jump. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
I'm really telling you. I think the eye test
All-star?
Really – I think he could be an all-star.
Yeah.
And I think really that the Pacers can finish top five in the East and compete again.
I agree. And I also think that when Pascal was with the Toronto Raptors and we had him as a number one option for God knows how long, but the team wasn't strong enough to fill the little gaps between where Pascal couldn't do everything. And I think what people underrate with Pascal Siakam is that he can be a number one option.
He can.
And especially with this team, which I believe has a more of an identity. A
lot of shooters as well.
Yes.
A lot
of
shooters.
That's what, when the Raptors really struggled with having Pascal Siakam not only be your starting center, but then also as your number one option, there's just not enough shooting.
Yeah.
Right? There's not enough shooting to kick out when you're in the paint. Poor shooting performances don't let Pascal like thrive. I think Pascal is a very underrated passer. I mean, when he
underrated,
when he made all NBA teams, he was averaging something like 23-9-5 or something ridiculous.
He shot 40% from three last year.
Really?
Yeah, he did. Like 39.8. And the last thing I'll say.
Shout out Pascal Siakam, bro.
The last thing I say
for P skills. He doesn't like to be called Spicy P. He likes to be called P skills.
Hey,
bro.
P skills. You want one. And just the last thing I'll say for, you know, time's sake. Yes, they didn't make any big moves this offseason except Jay Huff, but there was internal growth. Ben Shepherd, Johnny Furphy, who had some flashes in the Summer League, and also Jairus Walker, who I'm so intrigued about.
Jairus Walker, from the minutes
I watched him last year, every time he would get in the game. And Rick Carlisle, I wanted to play him. He's like a wing who can handle the ball and has some untapped like playmaking potential. But I'm telling you, just watch out for the Indiana Pacers next year.
Yeah.
They're still going to be the same fun team that we loved watching last year, and I think that they can totally contend in the East.
Yeah, I fully agree. That was very compact.
All right.
I fully agree. I do think the loss of Miles Turner is going to hurt a lot more than what we're
defensively especially.
Expect. Like
at the rim, for
he
sure.
was such a good rim defender. Do they still have James Wiseman on the roster, or do they waive him?
No, he's still on the roster. But
yeah, he also tore his ACL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I'm going to expect a lot from James Wiseman.
But it's by committee. That's why I said, like, Jackson, J-Huff, Obi Toppin, who's kind of in that rotation,
and you have
James Wiseman.
And James Wiseman, who I think, like you said, Rick Carlisle likes to throw out random people off the bench.
He do.
I think James Wiseman, in a way more limited role, can actually
And he
produce.
Was, before getting injured, he was producing a little bit. But, you know.
But, you know, we don't have to go through the whole bench.
Enough about the Pacers. Yeah.
Enough about the Pacers.
I'm really excited because if
you know guys, what I'm going to start off with.
No, you guys don't know, but I don't know what Max, like the teams that Max picked. I have an idea, but I'm not sure what
I think you know who I have. Maybe I'm riding a little high now that I'm looking at like my predictions for where this team is going to rank in the West, because the West is deep. I mean, you have Houston, which is going to be a monster. OKC is going to be stronger than they were last year because Chet Holmgren's not going to be worried about his every single injury on his body. You also have, the Clippers, if they will be a team at some point. Don't even want to talk about that.
Wolves.
Lakers.
Lakers.
But then now we get to this point where we have the top five teams, and who I think is going to be incredible is the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yes, sir!
This is something that we both discussed at length together. And when I was looking through the roster, the amount of depth that's on this team is insane. Oh, do you have the Vegas odds for the Pacers?
Pacers was over under 38.5.
Which I think they're going to blow.
Outright disrespectful.
I think they can do 44.
They can win 50 games.
Yeah.
I care. I know they will.
But the Trailblazers, the reason I say this is because their Vegas odds are 34.5.
Yeah.
Which is lower than the Toronto Raptors. Granted, the West is a lot stronger, but, it's lower than Toronto Raptors. But, The amount of depth on this team is insane. I mean, you have Drew Holiday starting at the point. You have Shaedon Sharpe starting as your shooting guard. You have, and then this is where like things get a little more complex, because either you have Denny Atvia starting at your small forward.
100%.
Or you put Tumani Kamara and then have Denny Atvia be your power forward. Hmm. Or you have Jeremy Grant starting. Just depends on where they want to put it, if they want more offense to start or whatnot.
But most likely Denny will start, yeah. I think, yeah.
Well, Denny's 100% going to start. Yeah, it just means, is Tumani going to start or Jeremy Grant going to start? Because do you want defense or more offense? And then you have Donovan Clingan. But, I mean, when you're looking at the depth on this team, I mean, Dame is still there. Obviously, he's not going to return. He probably will return in, I think the prediction March? Is April.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Dame Dalla, even if he's, you know, injured and slow, he's still freaking Damian Lillard. You still have Scoot Henderson. You have Chris Murray. They used to have Rexdale's finest, Delano Banton, but they don't.
They don't. Yeah.
You have an enticing rookie in Hassan Yang.
Yay! Oh,
I love Hassan Yang.
Shout out Hassan Yang. Oh, I love him so much.
You still have Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
And you still have the Time Lord. You have Robert Williams.
If he, okay, but...
The third. Obviously, if he's healthy.
He ain't played a game like forever.
But he's a difference maker when he's on the court. Anyways, what I mean is that, like, you have so much defensive depth on this team. I mean, if you're spearheading with Drew Holiday and Tumani Kamara and Donovan Clingan...
You didn't say Scoot Henderson, too.
Well, as not, like, his defense is good, but, like, more as in, if you're spearheading with those guys, Shaedon Sharpe's an athletic, large guard, right? And then Jeremy Grant is a good defender. Denny Avia, he's pretty good at defense. He's 6'9", so, like, it's a little off on that one. But I think they'll be fine, especially if they have that much defensive depth. But, I mean, just there's so much raw talent on this team, and I'm shocked by the fact that they have 34 wins.
And their coach, too.
Chauncey Billups is a fantastic coach. He's got a lot of experience, and this is the first time he's at a team that actually looks good.
And from what I, like, when I was watching their summer league games, you know how they invite the coach to come speak during timeouts or whatever? And he was asked about this season. It's like, he's so happy that he got the veterans that he needed.
Yep.
They're going to lead this team. Yep. And they have so much youth. And the thing with youth, they want to play in the regular season. They're not coasting until the playoffs. I think they're going to win way more than, well, not way more, but like, if they win in the 45 range, they're getting into the playoffs.
I have them as, they could, okay, when I wrote this, I think I was probably tripping a little bit. I put them as high as the third seed.
I don't think they'll
be as high as that. But
the West?
Yeah. But I think they'll be the fifth seed. I think they could easily be the fifth seed or the sixth seed and miss the play-in. Like, as in, or sorry, not miss the play-in, but...
miss the play-in.
Yeah. And, fun fact, when I was looking at Basketball Reference, did you know that Drew Holiday has been in the league more, like, longer than Damian Lillard has?
Yeah, well...
Isn't that a weird
thing? Because he used to play on, like, them, like, old Sixers teams.
Because, Dame is going into year 14.
Jeez, man.
And Drew is going into year 17.
God, we losing our legends.
Isn't that insane? 17!
Yeah.
He's 35.
Still tough.
Yeah, still tough. But both Dame and Drew are 35. I guess Dame played more years at Weber State then?
Maybe. Yeah.
Or did Drew just... Who knows?
Who knows?
But, no. I'm really quite high on the Trailblazers. I think just Donovan Clingan, was he a rookie last year?
Yeah.
That's insanity. Because his defensive talent is already, like, he's what, 7'2"? He's such a big body.
He's huge.
And his defensive talent is, obviously, like, I put defensive talent is more raw, but he is really quite something to watch.
Great touch around the rim as well.
Seeing if he can become a lob threat, especially when you have Drew, we'll see if, Scoot Henderson can develop more of a playmaking, and when you have two veterans like Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard, you have a good shot at that.
No.
And then Hassan Yang looks like a polished big. He looks like someone that can be a great passer, which is good for a team that has Denny Avia and Damian Lillard. and Jeremy Grant, who can show.
Who's still here. Yeah. Somehow.
Still here somehow and shows that he can have talent. And then not even like, even more with perimeter defending. So you're like, oh, okay, Tumani Kamara just subbed out. Like, who's going to be defending me now? Oh, Matisse Thybulle. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Matisse Thybulle, one of the most unorthodox, like, crafty defenders in the league. Obviously, his scoring talent, and I think he's been injured, has diminished his role. And who knows if he'll even be in the rotation. But, I mean,
it's still nice to have him on the roster.
Absolutely.
If he's my 11th man, I'm smiling.
Set. But that's what I mean. You have such a good, like, large 10-man rotation, right? And I'm shocked about how low. Obviously, I think offense is probably going to be the biggest limiting factor of this team because I think they'll be able to stop.
No, 100%.
Like, stop any offensive talents.
Like, and they're so versatile, too.
They're so versatile. And three, like, from guards to forwards to centers, all defense.
Yeah.
Right? Tumani Kamara showed us that he's made such a defensive leap that I think he is going to be in the race for DPOY. However, if Wemby like plays a full season, he probably won't be.
Wemby just steps on the floor and he's
But no, like
that's a great pick.
I don't really have more to say other than that. I think that in a small role, if you have Haason Yang isn't playing great defense because he's a rookie. And Donovan Klingon's played a lot of minutes, and you need someone else to step in. Oh, yeah, we'll just put in Robert Williams III, Time Lord, and just stop. Like, I mean, in the finals, or in the when the Celtics went to the finals in 2022, when Robert Williams did get, I'm just going to call him the Time Lord. It's such a better name. Do you know why he's called the Time Lord?
It has something to do with college, right?
No, it was. I think it was the Celtics. He showed up late, like on his first day of practice.
Yeah.
And they just were like, oh, look who it is. It's the Time Lord. And so it has nothing to do with like anything other than he was late once. And then he just got the hardest nickname. And like, tough. I think it's such a tough nickname.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's a really good pick.
Yeah, I just think there's so much versatility on this team. Yeah. To the point where anything could happen. Yeah. I think they could soar or they could plummet. Because when you have that much defense, your offense is a little shaky, and especially Jrue Holiday. Yeah, it's great. Like, he's a fantastic defender, but he did slow down with the Celtics.
Mm.
So the question is, can they make it work with all the talent that they have? Is it just going to be a defensive mess and Denny Avia is just going to be chucking shots?
Yeah.
Like, where's it going to go? However, I'm riding high when you have mentors like Dame and Jrue for Scoot Henderson, who's shown that Flash is a potential, but hasn't been like a proven talent to be consistent or the player that we thought he was coming out of the draft. And I mean, Chauncey Billups is an accomplished coach and a fantastic, or not accomplished coach, but a fantastic player, and who was obviously a great point coach. Guard for, was it two championship teams? Did he win elsewhere other than Detroit?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I have to think about that one. No, because he played with Denver and then even, no, I don't think he won elsewhere. But obviously someone knows how to play the point. But he was not the dynamic scoring threat that
Scoot Henderson was. Either or, they'll be really fun to watch. And
yeah, I think that's what I think the big thing is. Fun, and don't be surprised if you see this team absolutely wrecking teams in like halfway through the season because they figured out their defense.
Yeah.
And Haason Yang, is he your rookie of the year favorite?
No, he's not. But I've watched a lot of him, and I'm so excited. Maybe we'll get into it when we talk about the rookies, but...
Yeah,
I have so much to say about him. But yeah, I think that's a good pick. Really good pick. All right. Now, for my second team, I have chosen the Orlando Magic.
Ooh.
Play that song, which is probably the worst.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic.
They try to do their own, like, light the beam thing. And it's not as tough as people think. But obviously, the Vegas odds are at 51.5 for this team.
So 51.5?
51.5, but I think they're still underrated in the public's eye. Obviously, what we know about the Orlando Magic, great defense, right?
Yeah.
Amazing defense.
Great
social media team. Can you guess the last time they had a top 10 offense in the NBA season?
When Dwight Howard went to the finals?
Nope. They didn't even have a 10 top 10. It was.
Shaq going to the finals?
I don't know. It was 95.
Yeah, so Shaq...
95. Can you believe it? We're in 2025, right?
Because Shaq gets traded to the Lakers in 1997?
No idea.
Yeah, I think so. Because Michael Jordan returns in 1995, and the Orlando Magic beat him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow. So, yeah. 1995. So, that season where they beat the Bulls in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, they had a top 10 offense. So, what we know about the Magic, they're young. They're exciting. They're really good defensively. They're really lengthy.
Yeah.
But they've been injury-riddled. Ever since, every year, we're like, this is the year the Magic are going to contend. This is the year they've always been injured. Last season, especially, Suggs only played 35 games.
Yeah.
Banchero only played 46 games. Mo Wagner, who was like, he was having a career year.
So good.
He's
at
13-5 off the bench. He only played 30 games.
Yeah.
Right? So, it was really sad to see. But the positive thing is that we saw Franz Wagner as the number one option. 26, 6-6. Good efficiency. Yeah. You really clean. Led this team.
Can't shoot. Can't shoot for his life, but
he has a hitch in his shot, which kind of disallows him to be efficient from three.
Yeah.
But he still makes shots, and he's a really good player.
Yep.
And so their biggest problem was point guard play, playmaking, and shooting.
Yeah, because it was like, I remember watching them last season, and especially when you like own a fantasy team when you're watching it, you're always surveying like the players who are guards on the Magic or whoever it is, right? You're watching, and it's like, oh, okay, wow, they've got so much guard depth. And then down goes one, down goes two. And then it's like, Cole Anthony, give us 40 minutes.
What shocked me the most, Corey Joseph.
Yes.
Toronto's finest.
Corey Joseph.
Was starting in the playoffs because when Jalen Suggs went down, Anthony Black, I don't think, is a point guard in this league. I think he's more of a wing.
Yeah.
Cole Anthony is probably one of the most frustrating and inconsistent player in this league.
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, I guess we got to sign Corey Joseph.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. But what I will give a lot of props to is the Magic front office really put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
Because this offseason, as we all know, traded for Desmond Bane.
Yep.
Right? Now you address. That's a bit of playmaking. That's a lot of shooting.
Yeah, a lot of shooting. And also it helps Paolo Banchero, who is a fantastic player.
Fantastic player.
But is hard to space the floor when you have someone like Franz, who isn't a consistent shooter like that.
Yeah.
Because Paolo can get to the rim whenever he wants.
Like, you know how crazy it is? You know how, like, that's what people don't realize. It's crazy that he's been able to get to the rim on a Magic team that has no spacing. It's crazy that he still shoots over 45% from the field with no spacing around him.
And I think that he doesn't have to take all those tough mid-range shots that he was incredibly inefficient on this year.
Yeah.
And what he does get to do, though, is KCP, shout out. I still think you can be an amazing player in this league.
Dude, yeah, he's on the Grizzlies. Yeah, no. It's just he went through a little rough stretch.
And I also think he was the primary three-point shooter, which is not the role that he needs to be in. He needs to be, like, the fourth option who you don't expect to be open.
Yeah, at this stage in his career.
And but Desmond Bane is just a bucket.
And he's a shooter.
Yeah.
He shoots efficient from everywhere.
Yeah.
Off the dribble in the mid-range, simple mid-ranges, step-back threes, off the dribble threes, catch and shoot. He can shoot it in any type of way. And they also addressed a little bit of that point guard depth with Tyus Jones, who is, for me, an amazing pickup. He played on the Wizards.
Right, they got Tyus Jones.
Yeah, and they got him for $7 million. Wow, yeah, $7 million for just 1 year.
The Orlando Magic had a great offseason.
And he's one of the best, if you know, assist to turnover ratio guy in the league. Yeah. He averaged 12-7 on like 50-40-90 with the trash Suns last year.
Well, it's also that everyone was like, oh, it's a mistake trading for Tyus Jones. But that team sucked. It had no defense. They didn't try on defense. They didn't have an offensive game plan. And Tyus Jones was left there to not be the primary ball handler, because when you have Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker, the ball is going to be out of your hands.
They moved him to the bench. Yep. And they started him again. They moved him to the bench. They
should have just put the ball in his hand and say, hey, I can run the offense. And, I mean, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, KD, amazing catch and shoot, 3-point, whatever. We're not talking about the Suns. But I'm saying that I think Tyus Jones is going to show that he can be a great starter.
Yeah, 100%. And he's done it on the Wizards, where he started for the full season, and he had really similar stats to last year.
Yep.
And I think what's so great about it is that Suggs will come back a little bit later in this calendar year. So he's going to get to start. So it'll be Tyus, Desmond Bane, right? And then you have Bankero Wagner and then Goga Batadze.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
And so I think you go, Bankero must be so happy because you go from having a backcourt, because even Suggs is pretty inefficient, right?
Yeah, he's not a good shooter.
No, but you go from having, you know, a clunky backcourt to not having really smooth and really like spaced out team. And they still look they made all these moves without compromising their main strength, which is their defense. They still have so much length. Jonathan Isaac, Anthony Black, you know, these dudes.
Jonathan Isaac, a name that I didn't think I would
Don't know, but he's known as unhealthy, like not being healthy. He played 71 games last year.
Yeah, and right? he is very limited offensively, but his ceiling defensively is insane.
He can guard 1-5. Right? Yep. And so now they're coming in this year with the possibility to be a top 10 offense for the first time in 25 years. And like they were number two in defensive rating, right behind OKC. They allowed the least amount of points per 100 possession last season. This team is so excited.
Desmond Bane's not a bad defender.
He's not a bad defender. And you know how, like, if you are a little bit of a plus defender, when you're surrounded by that many great, like, defenders, you fit in like a glove.
Them little arms going to be defending. Hey,
Orlando Magic.
Yeah, Orlando Magic.
Play that song.
Orlando Magic.
Stay tuned. So really, really excited.
Yeah. I agree. Sorry I cut you off a couple times there, but I agree. I'm going to make this one short, my last pick, for time's sake, and also because I really don't have, like, a ton to say about the team other than Victor Wembanyama.
Ooh, right? Okay.
And I think my dark horse is the Spurs. I'm shocked that their Vegas odds are at 44.5.
You think it's way more than that?
No, I thought that the Trailblazers would be higher than the Spurs just because of the depth. I mean, the roster looks good for the Spurs. However, I think a lot of it is just like, hey, Victor Wembanyama, right? And De'Aaron Fox having a full season or a full offseason and after having a season of working together. And I think things are really starting to settle in. You have a great rookie in Dylan Harper.
Shout out. Carter Bryant, too.
And I love, absolutely.
Lock up.
And I also laugh. It's Dylan Harper's like, he had an edit after the draft. I think it was whatever ad or sponsor he's with now.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm tired of being number two. I was the number two ranked player in college. I was picked number two in the NBA draft. Like, now is my turn to be number one. It's like, bro, you're playing with Victor. You still going to be number two, bro.
Didn't he, like, call you after the draft, bro? Like, listen. Hey, go to the corner, young man. Go to the corner.
No, shout out Dylan Harper, though. I just thought that ad was really,
really good.
Funny.
Really, really good.
And because he's playing with Victor Wembanyama. But we know, obviously, Pop isn't coaching the Spurs anymore. He's president of basketball operations. And I love Greg Popovich. You have a lot of the old players from San Antonio still being around there. Victor Wembanyama has found serenity and Maoism in China. And
My goat.
And I think just from the perspective of having a healthy Victor Wembanyama, having a healthy De'Aaron Fox who isn't dealing with a hand. I think his ligament was just destroyed, right? And having Dylan Harper learn from someone like De'Aaron Fox. I mean, you still have Harrison Barnes on the team. You have Stephon Castle, who is a fantastic
rookie of the year
guard. Very excited to see him this year. You still have Jeremy Sochan.
Yeah.
You have have Devin Vassell.
Keldon Johnson as well.
And Keldon Johnson. I mean, you have a lot of talent there.
A lot of wings, too.
I don't get the hate from Devin Vassell. I love Devin Vassell. I love his game.
He's good.
I love his mid-range scoring. Obviously, title of our show.
Hashtag keep the mid-range alive.
Hashtag I love Carmelo Anthony's buckets. But that's really all I have to say about the Spurs because I also feel like I don't have to say more. I don't have to tell you that Victor Wembanyama is going to be fantastic this year and probably can win the MVP and DPOY if he is healthy and the team is successful. I think they'll probably be the sixth or seventh seed. I don't see them winning 44. I don't see them winning 40, Well, they could probably win 44 games because the West is going to be very top heavy. Excuse me. But I think I'm really riding high on this team to make a deep push into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a great regular season team. It just depends on if they can stay healthy. And they proved that De'Aaron Fox and Wemby works.
Yeah.
They do need some more shooting. Like, Harrison Barnes can't be your best shooter at
well,
this
Devin
point.
Vassell as well is a good shooter.
Yeah, but not from, like, the catch and shoot that you probably need.
This could also be a MVP type year for Wembanyama.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
He's going into a third year, so I think he's really going to want to lead this team. And no, the Spurs got like good stuff cooking.
Luke Kornet, sorry, that's
great pickup.
That's the name that I forgot. And then that allows you to have a full lockdown defense where you can actually have the experiment of Wemby playing power forward working.
Double big, 100%. Yeah. I agree, 100%. That double big lineup. Kornet, who they got for 4 year, $44 million. Shout out Kornet, get your bag, because he wasn't even on the rotation with the Celtics, and then last year he really got on that rotation and he did so good. Yeah. Like, just offensive rebounding, defense, he's gonna help. I think he can really help anchor and help Wembanyama, so Wembanyama doesn't have to do everything by himself, and also add a lot of depth at the center spot because they didn't really have that.
No, before. And I also shout out, they re-signed Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah,
love Bismack Biyombo.
Me too.
But I think there's a lot of versatility with this team.
Yeah.
They're very guard heavy, so we're going to see how that's going to work out. But overall, I think the Spurs are going to be a great team. I think not a lot of people are thinking about them as an upper echelon team.
Yeah.
But that's where I put them.
Yeah. Wish we could talk about it more, but I really want to get into the WNBA.
Yeah, so we're going to have an ad break here.
Yes, sir.
And then we're going to get right back into it.
Hey, stay tuned.
Arts in the Margins present Festival Flux, a Montreal experimental music festival taking place from October 1st to 11th. Festival Flux is a unique mix of concerts, workshops, roundtables, presentations, and publication launches, all configured around performance, place, and politics. You won't want to miss innovative artists such as Beam Splitter, Anif Jacques and Ryoko Okama, Bozzini Quartet, Andrew Cyril, Christina Warren, Violence Gratuite, Nada El Shazly, and more. For more information on the festival and how to get tickets, visit fluxmtl.org.
Welcome, salutations and various forms of greetings, friends. My name is Mr. Billets. And when I'm not enjoying good ragtime music and tap dancing, I like to listen to Grade A Explosives on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM. Now here's some kind of a cover of Frank Sinatra by a metal band. Take that, Hitler!
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
WNBA?
WNBA.
Hey,
Buckets.
Tune in to the WNBA.
Buckets.
Right now.
I want to say, before you say anything.
Yes, sir.
Aja Wilson, bro.
Shout out.
Holy. I mean, back-to-back MVP.
Mm-hmm.
DPOY.
Co-DPOY.
Right. Co-DPOY.
Gotta give credit.
But her stats are ridiculous. I mean, last year, she had very similar stats from last year on the defensive end. I mean, from steals to blocks, where last year she averaged, where is it here? Last year she averaged 2.6 blocks and 1.8 steals. This year she averaged 2.3 blocks and 1.6 steals. She averaged less points, but way more efficient, like we were talking about today.
42% from three this year.
42% from three this year.
I mean, granted, she doesn't take a lot of them, but still, that's a lot of progression.
Yeah, because last year it was 32%.
And it's added a whole nother layer to her game. Yeah.
No, and her buckets are so smooth. I mean, she took less field goals this year, but it just shows a more polished offense.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's been hitting the gym with Bam.
Hey, no, because that's what it was saying on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Because I watched the Aces versus Storm game 3 of the first round. that she was working on being defended by bigger defenders.
Yeah.
But the WNBA playoffs started a week and a half ago. And so 8 teams make it. It's a 44 game season. 8 teams make it. And the first round goes as such. It's a best out of 3. And obviously same seeding as the NBA. And now the first round's finished. It's on to the second round. We had a...
Which is the semis.
Because yeah, semis already. We had upsets, a couple upsets. The defending champion, New York Liberty, got knocked out by the Mercury.
They did my girl Sabrina.
Sabrina
Ionescu, dirty, bro. Yeah. My Romanian twin.
And then the Fever knocked out the Atlanta Dream. That was a really good game 3. Shout out Kelsey Mitchell.
Yeah, ooh. with no Caitlin Clark or...
Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah.
Chloe Bibby was also out.
Yeah.
And then probably my favorite series of that first round was Aces versus Storm.
Oh, absolutely.
The Seattle Storm handed the Aces their first loss in 17 games during game 2. And then game 3, Asia was like, I bet. Yeah. Dropped 38 points on the rookie, my rookie. who they call? They call the French Wemby, Dominique Malonga, 6'6". She's so tough. But Asia Wilson, I will say, I've watched women's basketball before, like in the Olympics and like overseas. But I've never watched. I've rarely watched WNBA. And when I sat down,
it's hard to watch because not for the performance, just because it's not on a lot of channels.
Yeah,
like it's hard to find.
Obviously, you can do it in some other ways.
We're not gonna tell you about.
I'm not encouraging anybody to do.
Yeah.
But I've what I really liked is how the big man is very much still alive. They play a lot through absolutely. The post. And I mean, obviously, we're death of the mid range. Hashtag keep the mid range alive. Asia Wilson was giving my rookie work.
Mm-hmm.
Dominique could not keep up. She could not keep up. It was crazy. Turn around, bump fade. I'm not even a bump fade type of guy. Like, pull up mid-range. She was like, get off me, rookie. And she really showed that. It's like, I'm the MVP. Like, this is my league. Like, get out of my way. And so the Aces survive on a, by the way, I don't know if you kept up with it, but by the way, it was a game-winning layup off an offensive rebound. And the Seattle Storm had 3 bigs in the game. 3 bigs in the game. Asia Wilson attempts like a sidestep. Sidestep, like, mid-range. Like, it was like, I remember her name. It was like number 10. Yeah. She just gets in the middle, 3 bigs. Dominique Blanca, 6'6".
Yeah.
Grabbed a rebound.
Yeah.
And they lost.
I did actually, I did see that highlight.
Crazy.
Crazy. Ridiculous. I also just want to say, truly shout out the Fever for playing so well without Caitlin Clark.
Beat the Aces in the semifinals yesterday.
Yeah.
Stole game 1.
Stole game
big,
1.
Big upset. Because the Fever are a 7th seed, by the way.
Yep.
And
also, like, a 7th seed that relies on Caitlin Clark to be their offense. Someone, obviously, who is such a dynamic scorer in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Steph Curry comps. I mean, her shooting ability is off the dribble, off the catch, is just insane.
Even if she had a down year this year with efficiency-wise?
I think it was just because she was injured.
Yeah,
was
but still there. A lot of gravity.
Yep.
You know, just still a lot of gravity.
Yeah, and not something you see with players too often is the pure gravity from shooting.
Yeah.
Because the only people that have that are, I guess, Steph Curry, obviously. He's the guy that invented the term of shooting gravity.
I think he invented shooting.
Yeah, he might have invented shooting. Kevin Durant, and then, like, Caitlin Clark, man. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot keep her unguarded.
Don't matter if she's 0-for-5.
Yeah.
You're still going to be in her, like, you know, in her face.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out Paige Buckers. Paige Buckets?
Yep. Paige Buckets.
I think she finished like top 5 in like each statistical category, like scoring, rebound, and like assist.
Yeah, no, she was very consistent all
rookie
around.
Of the year?
Yep. She deserved it too.
Also, I just want to shout out my Washington Mystic rookie, Sonia Citron.
Yeah.
If you're listening, I'm a big fan. In any other year where Paige Buckers was not playing basketball, Sonia would have probably been the rookie of the year.
Right.
But the Dallas Wings were awful. Like, awful. Yeah, I checked their record. They were like, I think 11-31 or
12-31. But they had Kyrie Irving, bro.
What?
In Paige Buckers.
Oh, bro. I did not hear that trade. I was like, shout out Kyrie, man. Hey, my brother.
Yeah, went from one Dallas team to the next, bro.
But I hope we get to watch a game together this week.
Yeah, no, we definitely will.
Because, hey, I'm telling you, it's lit.
Yeah,
like, the arenas are sold out. Like, it's lit.
Well, it's also basketball. Like, that's what people, I think, who only watch the NBA for threes and dunks don't appreciate about the WNBA. Because at the end of the day, I want to watch basketball. I want to watch hoops.
Hoops. They are hoopers.
Whether I'm watching like some stupid 5v5 on YouTube, like I want to see buckets.
Yeah.
And I want to watch hoops, and I want to watch good team basketball. I don't just need dunks and threes. Anyways, I think we should talk. Well, we have 5 minutes here. Is there anything else you want to say about the WNBA other than that?
I think that the AC series is going to be really interesting. And also, what I forgot to mention is that from the second round on, it's best out of five. Because best out of three is like really quick.
Yeah.
Because like, that's why I'm not surprised the Dream got knocked out, because they were the number two seed. It's like best out of three is like crazy fast.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. In the NBA, they do best out of seven, right?
Yeah.
So if you're the higher seed, you have four home games. Mm. You have like two home games if you're like the higher seed. So I kind of like that pace of play. And also what you said about the differences between the NBA and WNBA, they still play fast. They also like really play through bigs. And also the playmaking. Yeah. There's so much better like positional playmaking at every size than in the NBA. It's really impressive.
Well, because it's more team basketball instead of just like, give me the rock. I'm Jalen Green.
And honestly, like sitting down, I was like, super happy with the product, and I'm a fan now, like for real. I'm a real fan.
I don't get the hate. I remember I was in a bar and I was sitting waiting for a friend, and I was watching the WNBA game.
Yeah,
someone's like, you're watching the WNBA game? I'm like, it's hoops. It's buckets.
Hoops.
It was the Lynx versus the Fever. Shout out Courtney Williams.
Yeah, who had a great game as well yesterday.
Yep, you my favorite player in the WNBA now.
Come on a radio show for real.
Yeah, link the radio show.
What we got to do? I know you hear me. Come on now. Stop ducking my calls, please.
Courtney. God damn, Courtney.
Courtney, please. Please, Courtney.
But yeah, other than that, I don't have much else to say.
What are we going
to
talk about next week, Max?
We did our two dark horses. I think next week we're doing the inverse. We're going to be talking about the bottom of the barrel.
That's what I was going to say. Don't talk too much about the Suns because they might be on somebody's list.
Yeah. I think we are going to... That's a show that tries to strive for positivity.
For sure. Always. We got to call out this front office. Yeah. We got to call out these front offices.
It's Stephen A. Matt Ishbia.
Come on now.
Matt Ishbia. Stephen A. really had the audacity to say Matt Ishbia was a worse owner than Donald Sterling, bro.
Bro, I don't want to even talk about the Clippers anymore. Heard Kawhi might get dropped as a player. So
for real?
Yeah.
That was the news?
Yeah, I heard he might get any big corporation or like bad press. No. I'm gonna move you to somewhere else. You know?
Well, the thing is, I didn't get to get into it. I didn't have enough time to get fully into it. Last week, I also, we have like a minute and
this time
40
seconds. We are going to nail the outro today. Yeah. We are going to nail the outro.
But the whole situation is just really bad. Like if any team is going to circumvent the salary cap, like it's really bad that the Clippers did, because Steve Ballmer doesn't care about money.
Yeah.
And the more stuff that comes out from Pablo Torre finds out or whatever other sources, like Adam Silver clearly being a little more pissed off with the actions because more and more stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
It looks really bad for the Clippers, which sucks because Steve Ballmer as an owner has brought so much excitement to the league, built his own stadium, like clearly cares about the product.
Yeah.
But
I won't.
But and it's just disappointing for basketball fans that want to see like a good team that has James Harden, Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, and so much depth.
Yeah, but listen,
at the end of the day, hoops are gonna hoop. So
hoops are gonna hoops. But thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening. I also want to shout out all the people that have sent me messages after the show. Telling us what you like, what we could get better at. I really do appreciate it. Don't hesitate. Really, don't hesitate. And yeah. Good episode.
We've been this has been such a joy for all of us. So, all of us as in
you and me.
Yes. But it's fun to talk hoops in the morning, and I hope you guys enjoy it too.
Yeah.
Anyways, this has been Death of the Mid-Range.
We will see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Me and Mrs. Jones.